Hello, everyone, and welcome back to BoJack HorsePod presents Tuca and Bird Pod. Today, we will be talking about Tuca and Birdie Season 3, Episode 3, the one where Birdie gets eaten by a snake. I'm, of course, Kirsten McInnes, joined, as always, by the lovely Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, how are you?
Doing great. We got, like, the Friends title kind of thing going on here.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I need to say as well, when you look on the IMDb page for this episode, it literally just says, Birdie gets eaten by a snake. It doesn't give you any info about Tuca's storyline, what's going on with Figgy or Speckle.
It's important.
Or anything. It just says, Birdie got eaten by a snake. And that's it. Not even about the rest of Birdie's storyline.
Wow. Wow. There's so much more going on. This is a very significant episode, especially for Tuca, I would argue.
Yes. And this episode was written by Raphael Bob Blocksberg.
Oh. Just for that fact. Friend
just
of the pod.
The info. Oh my God. He does count as a friend of the pod. That's crazy. Do you think he still listens to our Tuca and Birdie recaps?
I'd say absolutely not.
Yeah, he's done. He's done. We were so weird when we interviewed him.
Incredible. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like, we tried to keep it together, but not great. Well,
it happened. And no one can ever take that away from us.
No one can ever take that away from us. And I hope that we can find a way to interview Lisa Hanawalt as well. I would love to talk to her. I follow her on social media and I feel like she's really cool. And obviously we love Tuca and Birdie. So we need it, but it's fine. So we are officially just under a third of the way done season 3 here.
Yes. Going great,
crazy.
I would say.
I think it's going great. I love this show. I'm so sad that there's no season 4. But I guess since we're recording, like, our schedule of recording is so insane, we should let people know exactly what time it is right now.
Right now?
While we are recording this podcast.
What time is it?
So, we are recording on Sunday, December 10th, 2023. It is 11:28 a.m. in the Pacific time zone. It is 2:28 p.m. in New York, 3:28 p.m. for Lindsay in Atlantic, 7:28 p.m. in London, and 3:28 a.m. in Hong Kong on Monday, December 11th. That's what time it is right now.
We love that.
Big thanks to Brian Scully for that sponsored segment.
I was trying to think the other day, I was like, when people listen to this, it's going to be such a time capsule of the different, like, dates that we recorded on. I have no idea. I think it was like October sometime, November sometime now.
Yeah, we're currently recording about one a month, but I think that hopefully that will stop. I mean, I guess like holidays now, like you're going out of town, you probably don't even want to bring your microphone with you.
Definitely don't want to.
So we won't record our next one until January.
Yeah.
But then hopefully we can record like a few in January. Maybe even if we were really smart, we would have been doubling up and recorded like one and two on the same day and then like three and four on the same day.
Maybe
we'll
do that in the new year.
we'll attempt that in the new year to try and get them recorded more quickly and get it into your ears. It's crazy. It's wild because like when people are listening, they're like, we got an episode last week, we're getting an episode next week. And if they're a patron, they're getting that like the full unabridged version. Plus our bonus content, which is fully banter at this point. Yeah. So if you like the banter, the Patreon is for you.
Yes, definitely. And you could have a say in what we talk about that isn't banter if you are so inclined.
Yeah, current patrons not inclined, which is fine. We love them.
Yes.
They are yes-anding us until the end of time. But if people wanted to kind of have some direction in what we're talking about, that's where it would happen.
Yeah.
So, should we get into the episode?
Yeah, let's do it. This is really, it's a rich text, this one. I think based on the description of it, I was like, okay, this seems a little wacky, but no, very good.
But it is a little wacky.
Certainly, certainly.
I think it's an incredibly wacky premise that there's all these baby snakes just eating people and pooping them out, and somehow they don't have digestive systems that work.
Good point. Yeah, I think definitely wacky, but I think it's that thing that they always talk about with BoJack and similarly with Tuca and Birdie, where it's like, you have to add something silly or animal humor that is going to lighten the mood for the really heavy stuff. And like the Tuca storyline is quite heavy, so you have to offset it with this baby snake.
Fair enough. Maybe they could have offset it with whatever's going on in Speckle's life, but we have no idea, because though Birdie and Speckle's relationship seems to be fine, there doesn't seem to be a lot of communication about what's going on for anyone besides Birdie, which, like, sure, there's seasons in every relationship where one person needs a little bit more care than the other, but I feel like it's been very long time since Speckle has been treated like someone who matters in this show.
3 seasons from our perspective.
Yeah. So tough for old Speckle. But basically, the episode starts and Tuca is telling Birdie about how she and Figgy have come up with ground rules for his drinking. Because, of course, the last we saw, he was telling her, like, he drinks a lot and he's not going to stop. And, like, how, is that okay for her? And she was like, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned in our last recording, so I watched episode 1 and 2 of season 3 and then took a long break and then came back and watched 1 and 2 again. And in my second viewing of episode 2, I was like, oh my gosh, how did I even miss this last time where he says I drink a lot and it's a lot. And then so I was glad I clocked it heading into episode 3 where it is all about the excessive drinking. There's a lot of drinking going on here.
Yeah, you would have, I think, been very confused had you not realized what was going on.
It's so funny. I must have been just, like, frantically taking notes or something the first time and just missed it, but, like, completely did not clock it when he says, like, and it's a lot.
It's done, like, pretty quick, so I can understand how it would be missed if you're paying attention to other things. But so, Tuca and Figgy went, she called it hunting, but they went paintballing.
With a deer.
With a deer, and they shot the deer in the face of the paintball, which I was like, oh, damn. Like, deer really do not have a good time in the BoJack and Tuca extended universe.
Good point. Oh, man. Yeah, they're always having bad things happen to them.
They're always, like, getting hit by cars and not having insurance and or getting,
BoJack's,
like,
always being inappropriate
sexually
with
assaulted
them.
By a much older horseman or... Yeah, it's a tough situation.
Yeah, not good.
But so Tuca has four rules for Figgy. And she says, don't drink in front of me. Don't drink so much I have to take you to the hospital. No home brewing, not because it's bad, just because it's annoying. And don't make me wear pants, because her ex made her wear pants and that was very bad.
Yeah, and we get, like, a flash over to Birdie where she's like, wait, is that what you took away from Kara? Like, that was what was bad, was that she made you wear pants?
And you know what? I think that the pants work as a symbol of how bad Kara was. And so if that's what Tuca takes away, at least that's one more thing that she is, you know, keeping an eye out for in future relationships.
Yeah, Tuca herself is like, it's what they represent, which I think is true.
100%. And so Figgy's fine with her rules, but he has one rule, and it's don't ask me to stop drinking because I'm not going to stop drinking.
Yeah, and I was like, so he says this to her, he's like, I have just one rule for you, and she's like, oh, rules are terrible, this sucks, why are you doing this to me? But yeah, when he says don't ask me to change, like, I know myself, it's like, uh-oh, this doesn't seem good. Definitely some red flags waving here.
It definitely feels like this is more than how it's being portrayed, because it feels like he's like, yeah, I drink, and you could think, oh, maybe he doesn't have, like, such weird drinking habits or excessive drinking habits because he's being just sensitive to what Tuca would need because of her history with alcohol. But then as he's talking about it, you're like, oh, no, I think this is a little bit more and maybe not the best.
Yeah, and just the way he comes at it of, like, I already know myself, so, like, don't even try this with me. Like, I'm not even willing to have a conversation about it. It's like, okay, that is concerning a little bit, but he seems confident, so maybe it's fine.
Well, yeah, it gives the vibe that a lot of people have asked him to stop drinking, and he is not willing to do that. And it's like, well, generally speaking, when a lot of people are asking you to stop drinking, it's because there's a problem and they're worried about you.
A lot of people are noticing.
So a little bit of a red flag there. Tuca and Birdie are talking about this on the platform for the subway, and they find out that it's delayed because of a medical issue. So they walk off and leave the platform, and then the snake train pulls into the station, has a bunch of babies. And so now there are snakes all over Birdtown, which is the setup for the episode. And as you said, Lindsay, the levity that we will get in this episode.
Yes. Stand clear of life's glorious pageant as the miracle of birth happens on the platform.
So gross. I feel like season three is very silly.
Yes. But I've also been, yeah, and I think you said the same thing, like season three is coming off as so strong in terms of the story, and definitely there were things we liked in previous two seasons, but I'm finding this one especially compelling.
Yes, very, very good. Tuca feels like a real person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, is like instead of just getting like a Birdie story and then kind of like half a Tuca story, we're getting two pretty fleshed out stories most of the time.
Yeah. And even like if you get a Birdie story that's just a little bit light, mm-hmm. because we're so grounded in her yeah. character, it doesn't really matter as much. Whereas before, we were not really getting to know Tuca, mm-hmm. and we weren't getting big plot lines with Tuca. So it was just kind of like, okay, well, she's Birdie's sidekick. And now we're getting yeah. to know Tuca as like a fulsome character.
Agreed.
So Birdie leaves to go home. Like, Tuca wants to hang out with Birdie more, but because it's 9 p.m., which is the 9 a.m. of p.m.s. And Birdie's like, no, like, I start my new job tomorrow and I need to, like, work and prepare for it. And she sits up all night trying to come up with a new idea for the desserts at the company mm-hmm. she's working for now, which the name is currently escaping me. Sweet.
Like winter. Beaks. Treats, or it's for Winter Garcia, it's like winter green or winter
oh something. yes. And so I think here's the thing that makes me furious about this. This is marketed as Birdie's first day at a new job.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And yet she has to already have an idea. Like, no, there should be an orientation, and she like reads the sweet greens or whatever manual, and she learns like the company, you know, plan and what they want, and then maybe she would have an idea that the little bug desserts that she wants to make don't fit in with that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just, in what world do you start a new job and on the first day it's like, let me pitch to the CEO?
Yeah. It's a good point. And like, it's assuming that she has like an exhaustive knowledge of every product that they have and would be able to identify where the gaps are and what her stuff could fill. So yeah, I think it's pretty, yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. I was just like, yeah, it's just what she's doing. Real keen.
And yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe I'm reading it wrong. Maybe it's not her first day. Maybe it's her first day like actually working and she has already done all of that stuff and we just didn't get to see. I don't know. But that, it stuck out to me as a concern. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she says, like, I'm pitching a new product line tomorrow to Winter Garcia. So, but regardless, she's definitely taking this very seriously and seems kind of unlike her not to have at least a little something prior to the day before. She's really keen on being organized.
Yeah, it's weird that she was out hanging out with Tuca all day when she has to pitch an idea tomorrow and she doesn't have one.
Yeah, and then she's just, like, sleeping on the floor and, like, yeah, just been working on this all night.
Yeah, she realizes she's late, so she's rushing to get to work.
Time is a dick. Agreed.
And so she's on the bus and she is having a moment that I don't know if it's true to you, but is very true to me of having a face that is way too approachable. Like, I am always the person that mm-hmm, people will talk to on the bus or like, I know, thankfully no one's ever asked me to hold their baby, but like people talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, everywhere. And like, not in a normal, like, hi, like, that's fine. I'm not like antisocial and don't want to be part of a community. I just don't want to have full blown conversations with strange men on the bus when I have my headphones in.
Yeah, no, it's very funny. I don't think this happens to me so much where people are like, let's have a conversation, but I am always the person who gets like picked out of an enormous crowd to take someone's photo. To the point where, so like, it happened to me one time when I was in front of like whatever that big science museum in Toronto and a huge crowd, and I was picked out. But the worst example of it was I was running, had my headphones in, was on the move, running down a path, and mm-hmm. someone was like, excuse me, stop. And I was like, oh god, something must be terribly wrong. And she's like, would you mind taking a photo of me? I was like, what
are you kidding me? When you're on a run,
headphones in, running, and it was COVID, so I was like, oh, I don't like got to get close to you with your phone.
Yeah. Oh, she made you touch the phone.
Well, I didn't do it. I was like, I'm kind of in the middle of a run here. I think it was the only time I've ever said no.
Yeah, good boundaries. I'm so proud. Like, I just assumed based on who I know you
everything
to be
you
as
know
a
about
person
me.
That you just did it. I'm proud of you for not doing it.
I was like, oh, I'm actually kind of in the middle of something, but I'm sure one of these other hundreds of people would be happy to do it for you.
Like, what picture do they even want if it's in a
yeah, it was just like on
running?
The boardwalk. Like, ridiculous.
I don't care for that.
No.
a freak. That person's a freak.
But yes, I do reference the point where the woman makes Birdie hold her baby and she's like, oh my God. It's like, yeah, why'd we even sign up for this, right?
Well, but it's so, it's crazy because the woman's like, hey, can you hold my baby? I want to play a game on my phone. Insane. Even more insane and hilarious. The game is a hold your baby game.
Yes.
And then she's like, Birdie gets puked on by the baby and she's like, oh, your baby got sick all over me. And I was like, yeah, I know. Sometimes it's like, why did we even sign up for this?
Right.
And I was like, well, I didn't. So if someone's baby puked on me on public transit, I would be like, obviously it's not the baby's fault. Like babies puke, whatever. I really want to be careful. I don't want people to think I'm one of those anti-kid freaks. Like, I don't love spending that much time around children, but I also am like, children are a marginalized group in our society and like deserve rights also. Yes. Seems like people have a hard time recognizing that. So I just really want to be clear.
An important distinction.
But I'd be so mad if someone's baby puked on me. I'd be mad at the person. Yeah. I'd be like, why'd you hand me a pukey baby?
What's wrong with you? Yeah, like, no. Horrific.
Why? Why did you do this?
So good.
Yes, so good. And then there's also, as you go through the town, you can see that there's a lot of beware of snake signs out and about. So just keep an eye on that because the snake problem does get worse before it gets better.
Yes, you may have guessed from the title.
Yeah, a Birdie will be eaten by a snake in this episode. Yeah,
before the end of the episode.
And so the snakes are just eating more and more stuff. They eat like a kid. They're eating like a dog and a frisbee. They're just eating everything. But then we go to Birdie's work day and she is giving a pitch, which is bug bunts, which are little bunt cakes that are shaped like bugs. And each bug has a unique flavor profile. And I feel like pitching an idea maybe doesn't need to be this well-rounded before your pitch. Like it needs to be well-rounded-ish. Yes. But I don't think she needed to actually develop the flavors, you know? Like, I think she could have just been like, my idea is bug buns. Each bug will look different and have a different flavor. And then you're like, then Winter Garcia's like, A+, I love it. And then you go and you start developing the flavors and you go from there. But she's like, created a full thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think she really goes overboard here. Like, when it's a pitch that she hasn't given you any indication of, like, you're on the right track, you're running the risk of wasting a shitload of time. And that's exactly what's happening here, where it's like she's going to see that you've created 6 unique flavors and backstories and whatever, and it's like, okay, well, now you didn't have to do any of that. You could have just been like, here's the pitch and here's like maybe you do like one and be like, look how good this is.
Well, yeah, yeah, and that's
not all 6.
100% not all 6. And it's also just like, why? I just don't understand. I don't understand why.
Yeah, she's very much like giving teacher's pet here, where she's like, look how much I've put into this. It's so well thought out. And she really clearly is confident in this idea. And Winter's just like, okay, what else?
Yeah, she's like, nope, what else you got? And that's the thing. Birdie spent all night coming up with flavors when she maybe could have spent all that time coming up with more ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come up with multiple less thought out ideas. And maybe that's a better use of your time.
And because she spent so much time thinking about it, Birdie is like married to the idea. So now she can't understand why Winter wouldn't like it.
Yes, the idea is very precious to her now.
Exactly. Which is like, Birdie, this is your job. Why are you so obsessed with your job? Maybe I'm projecting. And so then we get her at home. And her colleague is like, what about triangle cookies? Cookies that are shaped like a triangle and they are all cookie flavored. And Winter Garcia is like, yes, love it. Get to work on it.
Make them isosceles.
That's such a funny.
Very good.
So silly. And so then we get Birdie at home and she's complaining to Speckle about this whole situation. And Speckle's like, you need to sleep, like go to bed. And she's like, no, I need to come up with an idea because I like, what else you got? I can't sleep. And it's like, well, you are doing yourself absolutely no favors.
Mm-hmm. Very funny visual from Speckle where he's like, oh my gosh, like sometimes my best ideas come to me in my dreams. And it shows him like falling through the air screaming. And then he goes like, that's a great window design.
Yeah, I want to know more about Speckle's rich inner world. Because there's a lot going on. Why are his dreams like that?
True. He's a very, potentially a very full character, if only we knew more.
But also, you know what? That's just like every show made for fucking men, and the women definitely have rich in their lives, and we don't know anything about them. So yeah. I do love that. I'm certain that's intentional, right?
Yes, indeed. So. Speckle has to kiss himself night-night.
I did think that was really cute. So then Birdie's like thinking, and someone knocks on the door. She opens the door, and it's a little snake with a top hat on, like the most dapper snake of them all.
The top hat is very, very cute.
Yeah, I love it. It's so fancy. The other thing, too, is when she's ranting to Speckle, it's about how... Or no, before Speckle, she's ranting in front of the snake. And she says that she's too freaking cute, and that's her problem. Which, girl, so relatable. Oh, my God. And
I'm simply too cute.
Then the snake eats her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Speckle's like, what happened? She's like, what do you think has happened based on what you are seeing right now?
I've been eaten by a snake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like call animal control and they're like, see, your problem is you got eaten by a snake.
She's like, yes, I'm aware of that. But like, how, what do I do? And they're like, well, you're just going to have to live your life in a snake for a few days and then you'll get pooped out. And then I guess you'll live the rest of your life as poop.
To prevent this in the future, don't get eaten by a snake.
Yeah, so easy.
Classic. Great advice.
And so then Tuca comes in. To be like, what up, Operation Tuca Dates an Alcoholic is a success. Because they went to an art show and Figgy didn't drink, even though the art was really bad.
That's such a good line. Like, and this art was real bad. Like, it is not good.
And Figgy passed the test.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't drink in front of her. Yes. Although I feel like, I mean, what would the rules be about him? Like, I bet he could drink without her knowing it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Like, he shouldn't, based on the rules and her boundaries, but I don't know.
Yeah.
He could drink before he sees her and be drunk. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And yeah, and then the rule of, like, don't drink in front of me. Yeah, I guess he could just, like, be hiding it. But it seems like he's playing by the rules.
Yeah, and it seems like he wants to play by the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So... we see people are finally leaving Birdie alone because she's inside a snake. We see the guy on the bus that was bugging Birdie bothering another woman. And Birdie tells him to leave her alone. Mm-hmm. And it goes really well. And he apologizes to Birdie. And she's like, no, don't apologize to me. Apologize to her. And then the woman's like, ah, a snake!
Yeah, it's very good. The guy's like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. I didn't realize it would disturb her. Like, he just respects the snake so much.
Yeah, an idiot. Full freaking idiot. And then the whole thing with Tuca right now is she's like, I am not getting eaten by a snake. I will not be eaten by a snake. It's not part of my life. It's like, it's me when I was like, I am not going to get COVID. I just don't envision that as part of my story. Not you know, like that's just not for me, you know?
Yes, I remember that vividly.
And then of course I got COVID in New York. So
even though it wasn't supposed to be part of your journey. And maybe
it was never meant
to
be
on a similar path.
Exactly. So, Birdie's back at work, and her new idea that she pitches is just a salad. Dessert that looks like a salad, but when you bite into it, it's dessert. So, this is Birdie very ahead of the, is it cake trend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a salad. It's the opposite of dessert. Looks like salad, but tastes like dessert. It's playful, clever, and if you eat it at work, everyone will think you're being healthy.
Yeah. So, that's great.
We touch on Tuca asking Figgy about, like, are you sure you don't want to drink tonight? And he's just like,
I don't think that happened yet.
I have it in between respecting the snake and struggling to bake inside the snake.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So they go out for dinner and they're given the drink special and Figgy seems really interested. And Tuca's like, well, like, you, it's okay. Like, you can have, it sounds like, it seems like you really want this drink. Like, you can have it. And he's like, well, no, like, I want to follow the rules. And she's like, no, it's fine.
And he had said, like, as soon as we're done hanging out, I'm going to, quote, drink like crazy. And so she's like, are you sure you want to go another night? And he's like, yeah, no, like, well, I've got you. I want to be with you, which seems very nice. But yeah, then it's getting a little dicey.
But then he goes, oh, yeah, I know how to have just one drink. And then he drinks mm-hmm. like 8 drinks at least. And it results yeah. in like him very drunk. And Tuca takes him home and she doesn't have to take care of him or anything like that. But like he is extremely drunk.
Yeah, very much so. And like it's even just like the visual of how many glasses are in front of him.
Not a good vibe. So then Birdie goes home after her idea gets approved and Speckle and her are having champagne. Speckle is like, he had whatever's going on with him also went well. Mm-hmm. So that's great.
There was such a funny sight gag here. He's like, this time I'm not going to be afraid of when the champagne pops. And he's like, ah.
He gets so scared. Listen, that's like me. I get so scared when the champagne pops.
Yeah, every single time. You are out here
cutting it with a fucking sword and shit? Absolutely not. I will be looking away. Like, yeah, it's no, not. I'm not fine
anytime
like
anyone
that.
Is popping champagne, I try to pretend I'm not, like, wincing, but I definitely am.
Well, and there's, like, a Love Island UK contestant who then went on to be on the challenge. Like, his life path got really changed because, like, cork hit him in the eye and he had to have surgery and he's, like, partially okay. blind now. And it's, like, all for a damn cork for some bubbly? Absolutely not.
No, thank you.
Like, my God, at what cost?
Yeah, not good.
So I don't like to be in the room when the champagne gets...
I don't blame you. I don't either.
Not for me. So then Tuca's on a date with Figgy, and she leaves to go to the washroom, and she comes back. She's been eaten by a snake. And she had just been being like, I'm not getting eaten by a snake. If there's one thing about me that I will not... be getting eaten by a snake. She walks away, she gets eaten by a snake. And Figgy's like, well, it's kind of funny because you were so adamant that you weren't going to get eaten by a snake. And Tuca's just like, I don't understand why you're living in the past. Get over it. The reality is, I'm in a snake now. Like, deal with it and move on.
Yeah, she's like, the rule before was like, you can't drink in front of me, but now I'm in a snake, so it's snake rules now.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is the restaurant where she's like, oh, you couldn't have a drink. Mm-hmm. And then she says it's snake rules.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Now, the thing I was thinking before was when she had been like, are you sure you want to hang out with me again?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. My bad. That's my B.
Yeah. But yeah. So then, yeah, he's like, are you sure? I'm like, a drink? Like, sure. Yeah. And Tuca's like, oh my gosh, like, incredible. I could never just have a drink. And yeah, it turns out Figgy can't either.
Yeah. Because it turns out that when you have an addiction to alcohol, it is actually a struggle with addiction.
It turns out it is kind of hard to behave as if you do not have a problem.
Yeah, it's almost like it's difficult to have control over things that you are addicted to.
Almost like that. Figgy is just like, yeah, he's like staggering into Tuca's place. At one point, he's like juggling his figs.
Yeah, and they have, like, sex while Tuca's in the snake, and the snake is, like, eating the fruit off of Figgy's tree. Yeah. And then Speckle and Birdie also have sex while she's in the snake. And there's, like, I found it very troubling when Speckle had his hand inside the snake's mouth to do whatever he was doing in there. You know, like, I found it extremely troubling. And maybe it's because I'm a prude. I don't know. But
I also was like, hey, I don't want to interrogate this too much.
Yeah, the visual was very, very troubling. Yeah. So then the next day, Tuca comes to talk to Birdie and is like, hey, Figgy is such a better drunk than me. Like, he does all the fun parts. He doesn't do the sad parts. Like, this is great.
Mm-hmm. And they're both in agreement that, like, sex in a snake is way better than sex not in a snake.
Yeah, Birdie, I guess, is really self-conscious when she's having sex. And, like, if Speckle can see her, she feels like she can't just enjoy herself, which is... Mm-hmm. Listen, she's been in therapy for some time, and I think that's something she needs to talk to her therapist about. Because, like, how can you even enjoy sex if you're so worried the whole time you're having it?
I'm constantly like, he's looking at me. Okay.
Again, he likes looking at you because he loves you.
He loves you. Maybe, yes, exactly. Time to dig into this with, what's her name? Joanna.
Yeah, but I mean, we haven't seen her with her. Maybe she quit therapy.
Yeah, maybe.
So Figgy talks to Tuca and is like, hey, I just want to be alone for a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And Tuca's like very shocked because now he's drank in front of her and it was a fun night. So she's kind of like, oh, well, we don't have to take time apart. kind of vibe. And he's like, no, I need some alone time. I need to be alone for a few days. And I guess we could just finish up with this. And so Tuca ends up going to Birdie and talking about this. And Birdie's like, well, maybe he doesn't realize that you love every part of him. And if you just tell him that, it like that could be like resolved, which I think is good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Birdie does a good job too of linking it back. So like, remember when I used to take care of you and you felt embarrassed that you'd let your guard down? He probably just feels like that. And I do think it's helpful perspective to be like, remember you felt just like this.
But I do think that when someone has asked for space for an amount of time, it's also important to give them that space. And so I think maybe Tuca should have had the conversation with Figgy at that time, though. That would have prevented her from knowing like the full situation of the relationship she was in, and probably would have resulted in her getting hurt more. So it's like kind of lucky it ended up this way, but she probably shouldn't have gone over right away.
Yeah, no, definitely. And she's like, oh my gosh, definitely he needs to hear it. I'm going to go over right now and tell him. And it's like, well, no, you could maybe give him the space and the next time be like, hey, sometimes I feel insecure and I felt a little bit worried when you said this. And then he can reassure her.
100%. And but like, I do like how it ends up, I think, is better for Tuca. But
definitely, yeah,
get it's that just like Figgy's also a person in the relationship who deserves respect, which is what makes relationships so complicated.
Yes, definitely.
And so Tuca goes to his house. No, there's no answer at the door. She goes inside and the apartment is pitch black. There are empty alcohol bottles everywhere, like so many bottles. Like he was pretty drunk on his like probably 10 drinks at the restaurant, but this is like a lot more than you were imagining, probably, just like Figgy said when he told Tuca about it.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Figgy is sitting in a chair, basically comatose, like not really responsive. His leaves are falling off. Like the imagery of like a dying tree, I feel like, is extremely powerful in this context. He's just not doing well. And he says he does this, you know, once or twice a week when he's alone. And what's his one rule? Don't ask me to change.
This is very, very tough because she starts off being like, oh my gosh, I just came over because I felt bad. I don't want you to feel like you can't be yourself around me. And then when she sees him, he's got his feet in a bucket full of booze that's coming up through the roots.
Yeah.
And he just, I agree. The imagery of the dying tree works so well, where she's like, your leaves are dying. And he's like, don't worry, it'll come back. Don't worry about it. But he's still present enough or whatever. He's still able to be like, hey, remember my rule, remember what I told you. He can't really say much else to her, but he is able to hold on to that of, no, I'm not stopping this.
Yeah, so really, really sad. And at first Tuca says, you know what, just let me know like when you're feeling better and we'll hang out. And then she goes to leave and she turns around again and she says, actually Figgy, I don't want to lie to you and pretend I'm okay with this. I care about you, and like, I can't know that you're hurting yourself and care. I can't care about you and know that you're hurting yourself. And so she leaves.
Yeah. Very sad.
Very sad, but definitely the right thing for Tuca to do. Like, obviously, I think especially women really feel like they need to help someone, and that it's their role to be a carer for a partner who maybe has issues, whether it's addiction or other issues, whatever. But at the end of the day, people, and not just in an addiction situation, but that's what we're talking about, like people don't get sober until they're ready to get sober. And everyone's reason for getting sober is different. And, you know, it's really sad. Some people never do. And it's not Tuca's fault that he is like this. And right now, his one rule is, I'm never going to stop doing this and you can't change me. So she has to protect herself. And especially in the context that she also struggles with alcoholism, she needs to be in a safe relationship so that her sobriety is not at risk.
Totally agree. Very well said. Yeah. And I think they did a good job too of setting it up where it's like, he has told you up front, this is not, he's not ready to change. He's not going to change right now. He's not prepared to do this. And I think it is so common for people to be like, I can change him, I can fix him, I can do whatever. And so it wouldn't have been that unusual to see Tuca saying, okay, I can be okay with this. I just won't know, but he doesn't do it in front of me. He's still respecting the rules and just not being okay with it. And also being afraid to be alone again. I could see her being like, you know what? It's fine. I'll just pretend it's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's very good boundaries and very good to see her immediately being like, no, not okay with this.
Yeah. Like after her last relationship with Kara being so bad, you could see her almost wanting to push this aside as like a small thing because everything else is so good in their relationship and he's so sweet to her. But like, you can't, like, it's hard to be there for someone who is not willing to stop hurting themselves. And like, there are people in Figgy's life who should be trying to do something about this, but I don't think like a girlfriend of a couple of months is the right person. In like, maybe sometimes, but Tuca's not the right person to be trying to help him out here.
Yeah, and it's not her responsibility to take it all on. And I think she does a good job of recognizing that. And when she first goes to leave and says, okay, well, just call me when you're feeling better. It's like, no, no, you're not comfortable with this. And then she just immediately corrects it and says, okay, I'm actually going to be honest about this, which is great. And then I think it's so easy to imagine her kind of inner monologue saying, he told me up front, he said that he drinks a lot and he didn't lie about it. He told me, I didn't know it was this bad, but he told me it was more than you're picturing. I'm never going to change. And so you could see her being like, didn't lie about it. I guess this is just how he is, and just trying to make her peace with it. And I think it's so good to see her being like, actually, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not even going to try.
Yes. Love this for our girl. Tuca, proud of her. So then we'll go back to Birdie. So Birdie is still in the snake,
working on her salad.
She's like, I don't even understand why she likes the salad. Like, the bugs were such a better idea. And you know, maybe she only said yes to the salad and no to the bugs because of Birdie being in a snake. So she calls Chef Garcia and says, get your ass over here. Like, really aggressive to get Chef Garcia to come over. I would not recommend it whether you're in a snake or not.
Yeah, not generally a recommended strategy. Also very funny, I think at this point she's like, she's asking Tuca, like, does this look like kale? I'm like, no, it just looks like mold is on that wafer. And then Tuca's like, I don't know anything about salad and salads don't know anything about me.
And it would be nice if Tuca ate a salad from time to time.
Yeah, she doesn't believe in them.
She eats all kinds of stuff that's not food.
Like gravel.
It'd be nice if she ate a vegetable. Yes. But yeah, so then right then is when they start getting pooped out. So Birdie gets pooped out. She's so upset. She wants to go back inside the snake. But seeing her snake go makes Tuca's snake have to go. So Tuca's not the snake anymore when she goes to Figgy's house. Everyone's getting pooped out and all the snakes just slither into the sewer together.
Yes. And Tuca tries to be like, well, Birdie is very afraid because she's like, oh my gosh, how am I supposed to do this pitch without being in the snake? The snake is the magic. And she's like, Tuca's like, no, you have the power in you.
Well, and I don't know about that.
She doesn't.
I don't know if it's about power, though. I think it's just about not being so stubborn about ideas, maybe.
The magic is in you. You can convince her that the bugs are the good idea.
Yeah, and so Birdie's trying to pitch the bugs, and she's going back and forth between kind of her normal demeanor and trying to be aggro. And Winter Garcia's basically like, I don't know why I picked the salads over the bugs, but I did. So you need to spend less time on the why I picked it and more time making cake shaped like croutons.
Yes, and she's like, oh yeah, like I did it and I'm sorry, but like I made all 6 buns and I added even more bugs and they have even more complicated backstories than before. Winter's like, why? I said I didn't like this idea.
Yeah, like why are you wasting all this time? Maybe work on the idea that's been approved and other ideas that maybe Winter would like. Now that you've seen that she doesn't like the bugs and she does like the salad, maybe that could give you a push in the right direction of making ideas that your boss will like.
Yes. Yeah. And she's like, she goes, if you can't see that because I'm not inside a snake, you're making a big mistake. Big mistake.
Exactly.
Very good.
So silly. And then Birdie is at home and says she wishes she could be a cool, tough, emotionless snake. And Speckle says he likes her being, you know, emotional, messy, and the birdie that she is. And Tuca knocks on her door and says, Birdie, I'm sad. And Birdie hugs her.
I love that she doesn't ask any questions. She just hugs her. She's just like, yep, you can be sad. And like we talk all the time about the friendship in the show and how beautiful it is. And I think this is such a great example of that. It's just like, she needs me. I'm here. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Like Birdie's in the middle of her own kind of little crisis, but she's still there for Tuca. Not there for Speckle's crises, though, interestingly enough. Love it.
Yes. The post-credit scene is the sick slug subway car.
Yeah, the slug train births a bunch of slugs and then everyone runs away. So I hope nobody gets eaten by a slug because that seems gross.
Yes, very.
Like, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
And yeah, that's it. Tuca and Birdie season 3, episode 3. I think a great episode.
Excellent episode. Yeah, and like I said at the beginning, I think when I started watching it, I was like, this is a silly premise and I don't like it. But yeah, no, it's a great episode. So good.
Well, as you said, we need the silly premise to get through the absolute fear-inducing scariness and just like really traumatic stuff that's going on for Tuca in the episode. So I liked it. I love this show. I'm really sad there's no season 4.
Yeah, me too. Would have been interested to see what would happen.
Yeah. With another one. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. Maybe when we interview Lisa Hanawalt, she'll tell us what the plan was.
Say what would happen. Where are Tuca and Birdie in 10 years? Tell us. But yes, so we'll be back next week to talk about season 3, episode 4, Leaf Raking. And we will have a guest for that episode. So
I haven't had a guest in a long time.
Yeah, friend of the pod, Sam Stanish, is going to come on for that episode. He has not watched season 3 yet, but he liked the guest stars. So I think that made a lot of sense. Excellent. So that'll be really fun. And we're going to keep trucking along. We will continue making monthly patron content, but it might not be more than vibes unless y'all start directing us on what you want us to talk about, because we'll talk about whatever you want us to talk about.
Anything you want.
But you have to tell us.
Yeah.
And you can hear more of Lindsay on the podcast of tomorrow, Since Then and Now, over on Post Show Recap, talking about what we do in the shadows and various other appearances over there. And you can hear more from me on the Hot Dummies on Islands feed. There's a ton of shows that happen there basically year round now, and Mess Magnets or Sasha Joseph, and I talk about pop culture, celeb gossip, trending topics, all that jazz. And we will be back next week for season 3, episode 4, Leaf Raking.
Bye.